Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavirayankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 13, The Ecstatic Dancing of the Lord at Rath Yatra, page 18. Okay, the first Srila Prabhupada, from 2.13.148.149. Srila Prabhupada, it is said, Vrindavanam parityajya padam eka nagachati. In one sense, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, Ishwara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. Right, so in one sense, he never leaves. Because the point is he's either there physically, or he's there in his bhava expansion, because everybody's absorbed in him, and he's non-different from when you're thinking of him. And so he's always there. So they always think of him in that form of Vraja Krishna. So in that way, he never leaves, right? But Prabhupada also says, however, in order to take care of various duties, Krishna had to leave Vrindavan, right? So then you get the whole rest of the Goloka pastimes, right? He had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and then he was taken by his father to Dwarka, where he was busy with state affairs and disturbances created by demons. Krishna was away from Vrindavan, and he was not at all happy. Right? Because if it wasn't the same Krishna, he'd be, you know, how you say, happy as Larry? You know, is that what you say? He'd be totally fine. But it's Krishna from Braja who's there. Right? Because there's only one Krishna. But then that mood, then the Brajabasis deal with him, then he can be fully himself, the complete, you know, with all 64 qualities, you know, in perfection, like that. As he plainly Krishna was away from Madhava, he's not at all happy, as he plainly disclosed to Srimati Radharani. So it's the same Srimati Radharani, right? But she's also not happy being away from Madhava. She is the dearmost life and soul of Sri Krishna, and he expressed his mind to her as follows. Right? So there's a distinction between the flavors that Krishna can interact. You know, in other words, how Krishna interacts with the Brajabasis and how he interacts with the Dwarkabasis, that will have a different flavor. Because one will be just sweetness, the other one will have that majesty added. So in this way, then, how he's manifesting himself, how he's dealing, his moods, all that, there'll be some difference. But the point is that if he's with the Brajabasis, he's the same Braja Krishna. Just the external environment, you know, that's arranged by the Sandini potency, by Yoga Maya, that's going to be different, so that's not ideal. And then because you have that environment, you have everyone that goes with that environment. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but when the Brajabasis are there, it's Braja Krishna who's, you know, he in that mood of Braja Krishna is interacting. Yes. Otherwise, you wouldn't get this pastime. It wouldn't have any meaning. If Braja Krishna's in Vrindavan and Braja Radha's in Vrindavan, then who's in Kurukshetra and who cares?
Maharaj,
yes.
It is said that when in Braj, when Krishna kills the demons, it's not the Braj Krishna, is the...
Means it's the mood, he doesn't do it as Braj Krishna, he does it as Vasudeva, because the demons don't have a relationship with him, other than he's God.
But my question is, The coward boys...
They see Braja Krishna.
They see Braja Krishna.
Of course.
They understand it as Braja
Krishna. Yes, that's very important. See, his things are moods. So we take it, because he can expand, that doesn't mean that the mood changes for the devotees. So Braja Krishna, the Nanda Baba, and the gopis, and they all see Krishna. You know? And they talk like that. And he talks and he says the same thing. So he reveals his mind. So that's... Go ahead.
But at some point they do get bewildered. Like after you leave Govardhan, they have a meeting. They say, we gotta talk about this boy. Because
yeah, but what are they doing? Who are they talking about?
They're talking about Braj Krishna.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying they're talking about that boy. And how is it this? And someone else will say that. Until someone else says something that they go, oh, okay, cool. And then they go on. So it doesn't change the mood at all. Their bewilderment they don't drop from their rasa.
Right.
Well, in Dwarka, they will. But in Dwarka, things like that happen, they drop into Dasya Bhava. Right? And so Yogamaya then brings them back. But otherwise, then that happens, it's not an uncommon thing, let's say, like that. But in the Brajbasis, then they don't. And even at the end, then, they all saying he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that by that time, the Brajbasis really don't. It doesn't faze them. In the beginning, they're always, who is this boy? But the point is it's the boy that's important, not who he is. That's the unique thing, because it doesn't matter. Him being God has zero influence or importance to them. He can be God, and that's not a problem. And so in the beginning, they're not thinking like that. But you see, by the time of Kurukshetra, it's like they know who he is, but who cares? Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say... you have the close family members and everything like that, and so then, the boy is grown up to be something very significant, like let's say even leader of the country, this that. But when they get him alone, it doesn't matter one bit that he's the prime minister, right? His mother is still going to get on his case for, working too hard and not resting and not taking care of himself. And his other brothers are still going to, wrestle with them. And that's still going to happen. So that's the whole thing, because of the affection. It really doesn't matter. So yes, in the beginning there is that little bit of what's happening. But you see by the end of the 10th canto, it's like, this water off a duck's back. They just don't care. People say, they see all the time, they go down to Varuna and they're all saying this and that and this and that, and Vasudev's saying, and all the sages are saying, and yeah, okay, cool. So these things, it has to be understood, because otherwise sometimes it's too much emphasized the difference.
I'm thinking of that pastime, which is only in Brihadbhagavatam, which I mean, Krishna stays in bed in Dwarka. He doesn't want to get out of bed because the separation has reached such a height.
Oh, yes, and then they do that whole...
He comes in, he stirs up even more. He even comes to his mother and says, I knew that would happen. Rohini understands, Devaki doesn't. All this mixture.
Yes. Yeah, so you have that. You have that. That's explained. So Sanatana Goswami will discuss these things. Because he's dealing with the Sambandha Gyan, then the situational thing. So he may bring up situations that we may be aware of or not, to establish the point. And so, but you'll see is basically he's the only one that brings these up. Others might just refer to it. But the actual pastimes only Sanatana Goswami brings out, because he's the Sambandha Acharya. And so just to show at all times, all places, all circumstances, what's Krishna's position, our position, the relationships between them. And so you see is that it's establishing the fullness of the Braj pastimes. That's the only thing that actually satisfies Krishna. Right? But the point is that sambhog is relished more when there's separation. And separation only has meaning because there's Sambhav. Right? There's the idea of being with Krishna and all that, then it has a meaning. Otherwise, it's just tasting Vipralamba and that's it, then it doesn't have the stand. So
in the Goswami Astakam, there is that verse that says, "Hey Radhe Braja Devi Kesha Radhe Devi, where is Krishna? Is he on the bank of the Jamuna? Is he at God?"
Yeah.
The Prabhupada explains that the mood of Lord Chaitanya is always separation. And if you ever say that I have found Krishna, so you haven't found anything. Mm. You never find Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the embodiment of Vipralamba Bhav.
Yes, that's in the Chaitanya Leela.
Yes.
But you see, in the others, then they come together. You know, yeah. So that's there. But we have to understand is that there's these different things, and the what makes Vipralamba. Why do we say, in one sense, it's a higher position? It's just because of the intensity. That's what we're dealing with all the while. The intensity of sadhana, it's more in bhava, it's more in, which then is more in shantarasa, which is more in then in dasya, and it just keeps going up like that until you get to Srimati Radharani. And then this aspect of separation, it's more intense. But the point is it comes back to there. So to taste that, then yes, he has the pastimes of Chaitanya. But they go on, you know. That goes on. The Braj pastime goes on. So all these things are going on. So they're all means we can't separate too much. We can't say that it's exactly the same and it doesn't matter. Others will do that. They'll emphasize. Look at say Prema Sarovar. They'll emphasize what the Sakis are seeing. That there's no separation. It's felt, but there's no separation because. Basically like this, except for the Gaudiyas, then others don't mind the concept of separation between them. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to feel it.
Yes.
In other words, yes. That is something unique and special. They don't mind experiencing that they're feeling it, but they don't want to feel it themselves.
Yes. Exactly. Yes. What kind of
But that's the point.
Yeah.
Is that the point? In other words, it has that touch of liberation to it.
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. The Gaudiyas, that's why Gaudiyas is pure unalloyed. All other lines will be pure devotion.
Mm-hmm.
It's exclusively about the Lord and no one else. So it has that aspect of exclusivity. So then it can come to the platform of you know, the rasas. But it only Braj is pure unalloyed. So that's the uniqueness. Right. So it has these aspects. So you're just bringing this up because otherwise sometimes people put... It's brought out so much that... No, it's Krishna doesn't leave, so it's an expansion. Okay, it's a Vasudeva expansion who goes. It's a Vasudeva Radharani who goes. And then, you know, so what? What's the big deal then? Yeah, whoopee. So, okay, they get together and go, oh, boo-hoo. And then, you know, and if that's the case, then, you know, it doesn't have the same point. The point is that they're the same people, but they're caught, they're in this, how you say, what do you call that? Aishwarya environment. So you can't fully taste what they want to taste. That's what creates the separation is even increased more. So you see, it's by that pastime it's increased, and Lord Chaitanya comes and tastes that. Because that's the most intense. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what we're bringing up.
For Maharaj, studying Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is for helping, encourages us to come to that taste.
To encouraging us to appreciate that taste, because you have see the devotional service you have the those that are how you say in sadhana, you have those that have faith, those that are steady, and those that have taste.
Yes, yes.
Right? So then, by having faith, then one practices the process. By practicing the process, then one is able to remove the anartas, so that then one becomes steady. Now that steadiness, if that is continued with spiritual desire, then you get taste, ruchi. Right? Because otherwise you can just be comfortable in the steadiness of devotional service.
Yes.
And that aspect won't be so prominent for you. Mm-hmm. And you'll have a taste that it's devotional service. You'll have a taste for the steadiness mm-hmm. and all that. But otherwise, if we see is that there's a desire for developing that attachment to Krishna, then coming to taste, that actually then it's just a matter of time that taste turns into attachment, turns into bhava. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you can say is that the regulative aspect being prominent ends at that point, at ruchi.
Yes.
But you can, if you don't have, you can continue the regulation and all that as a prominent thing all the way up till bhava. And then in bhava it'll switch. So that idea is that it comes down here. So it's actually, there is the spiritual desire at nishta, but only in ruchi is the taste of it. Does that make sense? So then Krishna, yeah. How do we get into that?
Huh? Then the followers of Mahaprabhu, we inspire.
Yes, so we're inspired because we understand spontaneous devotional service is important. And so in the performance of our devotional service, we should never look down upon spontaneous devotional service. Just as, you know, always remember Krishna, never forget is the central rule. And so then the activities in which you can be absorbed in Krishna then are so many, right? You have the nine processes, that's explained to 64. You know, all these so many ways it's done, and of this five are main. Then these five, then according to what is your inclination that you become most absorbed in, then you practice that one or combination of those. But in so doing, you should practice it in such a way you don't develop you don't look up at the any of the other ones in a negative way, or you don't try to avoid them. Right? In other words, they come up, you'll take that. You may have your prominence, but it's not at the expense that the others are seen in a lesser light. Does that make sense? So in the same way, is the spontaneous devotional service also can't be seen like that. Otherwise, sometimes it's taken that if the aspect of spontaneous devotional service is just automatically sahajya. There's no such thing, there's no manifestation of that, there's no concept of it at all. And so you can't discuss it, you can't deal with it. And so that's also a weak position, because then how will that spiritual desire come up? That will move you forward to ruchi. You know, unless you're such a fabulous sadhaka that you just have a taste for doing the sadhaka connected to Krishna, and that kind of thing will take you through till bhava at some point. You'll remember Krishna, go back to Godhead, and then in your spiritual form you'll take up the sadhana. I mean, you'll take up the, you know, bhava sadhana in spontaneity. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful, because sometimes going after that, we'll see that it doesn't come up. But spontaneous just means you're inspired. That's all. But you're inspired means it's a stable, not just sometimes inspired, sometimes not. That's not what it's talking about. It's a stable thing.
Maharaj, can we say that out of the five items, out of five, four seem to be, depending on situation, and if it is not accessible, then Harinam is the most prominent?
It means it's the central one, and that it's always about hearing and chanting. So you're hearing and chanting the Lord's name, you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the association of devotees, then we're taking advantage of the senior association and giving a benefit to the juniors, worshiping the deity, living in the Dham, and all of those, the holy name is going to be there. In other words, all five of them are connected together. You know, so, but what makes it dynamic is the association of devotees. So chanting is the most important aspect, but association of devotees is what makes the chanting work. Without that, then it's not going to happen. We're not going to have that inspiration. We're not going to. So it's by the association, then all five come up.
I meant to say, you can't access deities, you can't access devotees, you can't access the Bhagavatam, you can't be in the holy Dham. The holy name is.
Yes, you can. The point is, you can always chant like that. You know, and how you say? And if you have a smartphone, you can access all the other four.
Maybe there should be 600.
Yes. What do you call it? What's happening?
What's happening?
Yeah. Yes.
Another point to notice that devotees sometimes they separate the two sadhanas, the Raganuga sadhana and Vaidhi sadhana.
Yes.
But for many, it is a mixture of two, how they practice, because naturally we're attracted to some of the angas more than the others.
Yes.
But still, as you mentioned, we don't neglect it. We follow them nicely.
Yes, yes.
But we invest our energy, our time, more into those who develop naturally.
Yes.
More naturally.
It's just a matter of if the ideas develop prema, then you're going to follow the path that's moving the quickest.
Exactly.
That's all.
So it's...
You know, it's like when you go... you come off the plane and all that, and you come to the immigration, and whichever line's the shortest on that, you go to that one.
That's the diplomats.
If you can pull it out, you know, paint your passport.
That's the epic card. Or you go with the crew.
Done that?
I'm with the crew.
Sure. Sorry.
Yeah, because it's actually, if we look closely, it's a mixture of two, both Vaidhi and Rag, for those who understand.
Yes, because it's all sadhana bhakti. That's what has to be understood, is that spontaneous devotional service is part of sadhana bhakti, and it doesn't have a separate existence. The difficulty comes up when it's trying to be thought as a different path. It's not a different path. It's the same thing. It's just, are you doing it because you like to do it, or are you doing it because you're supposed to do it? That's the difference between it. That's the basic fundamental principle that you can always apply. Mm-hmm. Some who like making up their own, the spontaneous devotional service as the path will not accept this. Mm-hmm. They'll say, yeah, but there's all these other things. No, but it's not. It's the point. It's that clear. Then you apply it down into the detail. So that's all. So like you said, for many it's that you're nicely, you know, you're spontaneous in some aspect, and some aspect you're not. You know, especially like Mahaprasad, very spontaneous. But then in other, it doesn't necessarily translate into other activities. So because it's not prominent, so only if it's prominent, then we'd say someone is situated in spontaneous devotional service. It has to have, that's the way with all of them. Means there is some taste in when you develop Shraddha. That's why you're moving forward. But you don't call it taste because it's not the prominent thing. It's having that faith. That's the prominent thing. And so if that faith is there, then you move forward nicely. As we saw, is that faith is the head of Vijnanamaya Purusha. Without faith, you're not situated on that platform. You have to have that faith. That's how you see. That's how you understand. That's how you perceive, is through that faith. Then trying to gain that proper understanding means gaining the knowledge is the left arm. Then the right arm will be attempting to understand and apply that knowledge. That's then the dynamic point. And then getting that, then realization of that, that's the body of it. So we see it has a very specific form. Otherwise, as he mentioned, if it's about, you know, we're worried about, you know, more about the health and other people's health and about the environment and this and that and all the social considerations and these, and that's the main thing, then that drops it down. The foundation is the earth and that. So it becomes pranamoya. So then that becomes a difficulty, is that our philosophy is anandamaya, right? But our lifestyle is pranamaya. You know, then what do you do with those two gaps in between? You know, of course, we're not the body, so that takes care of the vijnanamaya. And, you know, we're devotees, we don't care for varnashram, that takes care of manamaya, you know? And in that way, we bridge the gap. Settled. Huh? Settled, yes, settled. So, yes, like you say, it'll be that, but then when it becomes a prominence, then we'll say it's spontaneous devotional service. But otherwise, it will generally tend to be, you know, especially, I would say, as you're going to see, that's going to be more prominent with those who have nishta. When faith turns into nishta, then you're always engaged in devotional service, so naturally then there are going to be some things that are more attractive. Like that. But you can approach it formally, but generally speaking, it would have the that inspiration. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So all the points are there, we just have to know how they all fit together so we don't overbalance them. Take something too far. Right? You know, as Prabhupada says here, in one sense, Krishna, the original person, never does not even take one step away from Vrindavan. Because even if he's in Dwarka, he's still only thinking of Vrindavan. You know, and Prabhupada named the deities in Delhi Radha Partha Sarthi. So that would give you an idea of what he's thinking about while he's driving Arjuna's chariot. He's just thinking of Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan and all that. You know, what does it take to drive a chariot for him?
It's like Tesla car.
Huh?
Like Tesla car.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it just
goes on its own.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just, you know, and the point is he's thinking about that, and then, you know, these other they can take care of it. You know, it's his desire, so then he drives it nicely. So one has to understand he's a person. We can't take it out. Oh, this is here and this is there. Then how is he a person? How is it one person? So that's how these great devotees, they see in Paramatma, that's Krishna sitting in your heart. Okay. 213-150. Sri Krishna continued, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan Dham, my mother, father, cowherd boyfriends, and everything else, are like my life and soul. And among all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopis are my very life and soul. And among the gopis, you, Srimati Radharani, are the chief. Therefore, you are the very life of my life. Srila Prabhupada. Srimati Radharani is the center of all Vrindavan's activities. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the instrument of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan still chant Jai Radhe. From Krishna's own statement given herein, it appears that Radharani is the queen of Vrindavan and that Krishna is simply her decoration. Krishna is known as Madan Mohan, the enchanter of Cupid, but Srimati Radharani is the enchanter of Krishna. Consequently, Srimati Radharani is called Madan Mohan Mohini, the enchanter of Cupid. 213-151-155. Right, so the whole point is Madan Mohan is Madan Mohan because it's Radharani. Govinda is Govinda because of Radharani. Gopinath is Gopinath because of Radharani. Right? No Radharani, you don't have these three features in this way. Right? If you have Rukmini, means the features of his attractiveness, his performing pastimes, and the taste will be there, but it won't be that it won't have the intensity that it will have in Vrindavan. So you know, does that make sense? So we only talk about Braja Krishna as Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan. We don't talk about Dwarka Krishna in that way. Because even if there is that aspect, that's wise, because Radharani expands as Rukmini. You know, and then take that, therefore, then all these things happen. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
There's that book by Srila Jiva Goswami, Madhava Mahotsava.
Uh-huh.
But actually, the story is how they install Radharani as the queen of Braja.
Okay.
But it's called Madam Mahotsava just to, you know, just to gratify his position. But actually,
it's about Radharani.
It's all about her. It's only the name.
Yeah. But at the same time, as what's Krishna's festival? Srimati Radharani.
Yeah.
Like that. So even if it's about, then that will be, you know, because then, you know, how is she the queen? Because she's the best devotee. Yeah, so it works. Yeah, because she's always centered on Krishna. And that, so therefore she's the best.
But all the devotees in Braj centered on her.
Yes.
She worships him, but they all...
Yes.
It's all about her in Braj.
Yes, because without her, you don't see Braj and Krishna. You don't, what's their connection? They have an attachment to a Rati for Krishna in that form. You have to assist Radharani to see that form, because only she sees that form. Right? Because she being the Sarup Shakti, the complete form, therefore the complete form of Krishna... You'll see the fullest manifestation of a Sarup will be in association with Radharani, who's the Sarup Shakti. Anyone else is a portion of Radharani, and so therefore he'll only manifest a portion that matches. Does that make sense? So that's why if you don't follow Radharani, you won't see this Krishna. Right? And we have to follow the Acharyas to follow Radharani. So it's very, very important. So people look here, look there, run around with this one and that one, and all that. That's there's a good chance they're not going to see anybody. Because you have to be very, very careful who you're with. So you're fixed very nicely. You know, we're following Srila Prabhupada, and by that, then that's our connection. We follow that very nicely. Then we will see. Then you can see. Right?
I'm trying to understand the position of Rukmini Devi. She's an expansion of Radharani, but she's with the real Krishna who is in separation from Radha.
Yes.
So.
Somebody's got to do it. Because the point is that mood is going to be there. There, it's formal. So the swakia, there's a different flavor. So he's always going to be thinking of Srimati Radharani. Because the intensity is more. It's just like this. Let us say I take some vegetables. I steam them. And then after steaming them, I put a little salt on it. And I give them to you. Right? Or I take those same steamed vegetables and I put together some nice masalas with some butter and all that and put that on it and give it to you.
Cheese?
Hmm?
Cheese? Some cheese on top?
Yes, put some cheese on top, you know, put it in the oven, bake it, you know, whatever. Okay.
Bread?
You can put it on bread, you can do anything you want. You understand? Okay, now I've given you that. You know, you've had all that and whatever it is, whatever goes along with it. Then, the next day, I steam some vegetables, same vegetables, sprinkle a little salt on it, and give it to you. No bread, no cheese, no oven. While you're eating that, what are you going to be thinking of?
I'm going to be thinking, what are you doing to me?
But why?
Why
are you going to be thinking that?
No, you will be thinking, why are you doing this to me?
Yes, but why will you be thinking why? Because the intensity is so much greater. The flavor is so much more. So that's the point. So that's the point. Krishna, out of Braja, he'll only think of Braja because the intensity is... What does it take to be God, right? That's the point. He is God. His energies take care. That's the point of being God. It's not like he has to work at it. Right? It's to interact with the devotees and pastimes. Therefore, then he does all these activities. But it's the taste of the interaction that is the greatest. And when it's just about him as a person, Because the other ones, yes, they're worshiping because he's God. You should worship. That's the natural thing. He is the supreme. But okay, somebody scored.
Godroom just scored.
Hmm?
Godroom just scored.
Just Godroom just scored. Okay.
I think you mentioned some previous lectures about the different levels of love for Krishna in Dwarka, and the queens only experience up to Bhava, they don't experience Prem.
Anubhava, yeah.
Anubhava.
No, Anubhava means they don't. Mahabhava, they don't get to. Prema, prema. Anybody in the, from Dasya Rasa is experiencing, whether they're in Vaikuntha, in Dwarka, in Vrindavan, like that. But we see in Vrindavan they go beyond prema, they go into this sneha and what's the other one?
Raga.
There's also the pranaya.
Pranaya.
Yeah, they go into that. You know, those middle ones. Only the gopis go up to this man and these aspects. And then Anubhav, they go to Mahabhav.
Anurag.
Anurag, yeah. So Anurag is sometimes it's called Bhava. But Anubhav, it means the stage just before Mahabhava, the seventh stage. So the queens will only get up to that seventh stage. But the gopis, they'll all be on that eighth stage. But then within the eighth stage, it has three levels. So all the gopis will be on the first level. Only Radharani's group will be on the second level, and only Radharani will be on the third level. So Lord Chaitanya comes to taste that third level in the mood of separation. So that's the most intense. But it has all the features, all the different aspects of her love and all those things like that. So that's what brings out the Govinda Gopinath Madan Mohan. Like that. So depending upon the mood and all that, what he wants to experience and all that.
Regarding prema, did we say in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that all those who are in the spiritual world, their platform is prema, which makes those Shanta Bhaktas also?
Basically, but it seems that generally we can just say that, but it seems that there's an aspect when you're talking about the experience of the levels. Means they only have love for Krishna. And so in that way then you call it, what's it, Preeti?
Preeti.
Preeti is the word that you can use for everybody.
Okay.
Preeti. Because it just means the general. It means Bhava to Mahabhava, that's all called Preeti. So Preeti is there. But when you take about the experiences that are there when you move up, then it appears the Shanta Bhaktas don't have those qualities that are manifest by prema. You know, but they'll have love for Krishna, but it doesn't manifest those qualities. So it appears it's kind of like bhava, the advanced, the top stages of bhava. But they're beyond those top stages. You know, they've already come to Vastu City.
And so that state is called Rati.
Yes, so they call it Rati. So Rati means it's fully absorbed in Krishna and all that. So, but the particular, the way that the vibhavas, you know, and all that, how that unfolds, that will be unique to itself. Then you get into dasya, sakya, and vatsalya. That will, as a group, then how it moves in these and that, then will be, in general, the same. But then they'll have very specifics on the vibhavas, you know, and these kind of aspects. Then when you get into the conjugal, how it moves through these eight levels is then again different. It's still the same eight, but just the order of it comes out differently. Because I think, because in the other rasas, the relationship tends to be straight. But with the conjugal rasa, it's crooked. So how it moves and all that is different. Does that make sense? So, in that way, if we're taking prema meaning love for Krishna, that they have. But the Sanskrit word, it would be rati, you know, would be rati or preeti, like this. But if you're talking about that someone on bhava just manifests only this much, when they come to prema, it's this much, the point is, or on pranaya or sneha, it's like this, they don't move through those transformations. Because that's the point, that they're shanta, they're very stable in that. There'll be taste and all this and variety within rasa. So does that make sense? So there's, depending on the explanation you'll use. So if you're using it as a stage, then no. But if you're not using a stage, then you'd say yes. Does that make sense? So they all have love for Krishna. They're all on the platform of Rati. So they're all completely absorbed. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 2:13, 151 to 155. Sri Krishna continued, "My dear Srimati Radharani, I am always subservient to the loving affairs of you, of all of you. I am under your control only. My separation from you and residence in distant places have occurred due to my strong misfortune. When a woman is separated from the man she loves, or a man is separated from his beloved woman, neither of them can live. It is a fact that they live only for each other. For if one dies and the other hears of it, he or she will die also," right? So they stay alive just so the other will stay alive. Like that. "Such a loving, chaste wife and loving husband desire all welfare for each other in separation and do not care for personal happiness. Desiring only each other's well-being, such a pair certainly meet again without delay. You are my most dear, and I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayana. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy pastimes with you. I then return to Dwarka Dham. Thus, you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan." Right? So that's what he means. He's always there in his bhav. Do you know the full name for that? It means it's his form as bhava. The acharyas use it sometimes, no? When it comes up. So every day he's there, and then they are absorbed in him. Like that. And that way then they feel the presence, though it's in separation, because we have to remember the when you're thinking of Krishna, you're with Krishna. Right? And so, but having met Krishna, then it doesn't have the same flavor as when they're personally with Krishna, though they're personally with Krishna. Right, so there's a slight difference of flavor. So that's the thing: one's always, even in separation, one's always with Krishna, but it feels as separation. So, yes.
It's similar to the Mother Sachi experience when she cooks for Mahaprabhu,
right,
and he personally comes and takes prasada,
mm-hmm,
but she feels she's hallucinating. And then she thinks, "Oh, I didn't put the food on the plate, or what happened?"
Because he ate it all.
Yeah, but he actually ate it.
Okay.
So he sends Damodar Pandit, and he tells him from Puri, he sends him to Navadvip, and tells, "Okay, tell my mother I am there. You're not hallucinating."
Hmm.
But she. Her experience is her experience.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely on a different level.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just like, what is it, when Krishna tells sends Uddhava with the notes for the gopis, and then Radharani, in the beginning of this, says, "Don't give me any of that stuff, all this jnana and this and that." You know, so it's all true, but that's the whole point. Is when you're dealing with the bhava, the facts aren't. They're not a foundation. They're not a foundation for any of this. That's the thing. So, it's not an active ingredient like that. Okay. I think when you're dealing on this level, I guess probably all of the levels, but it's here, it's more kind of the bhav that they're into and the yelling and screaming and all that. Whether anything is played properly or not, or anybody wins or not, doesn't really matter. It's just...
it's different language, like we actually different language.
Yes, yes. But, yeah. Our love affair is more powerful because of my good fortune receiving Narayana's grace. This allows me to come there unseen by others. I hope that very soon I will be visible to everyone. So he comes there and interacts with them, but in that mood. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna has two kinds of presence, prakata and aprakata, manifest and unmanifest. These are identical for the sincere devotee. Even if Krishna is not physically present, the devotee's constant absorption in the affairs of Krishna makes him always present. So he is there, when he says, because of their absorption in him. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.38. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya guna swarupam Govindamari Purusham Tamahang Pajami. Due to his intense love, the pure devotee always sees Lord Krishna present within his heart. All glories to Govinda, the primeval personality of Godhead. When Krishna is not manifest before the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they are always absorbed in thoughts of him. Therefore, even though at the time Krishna was living in Dwarka, he was simultaneously present before all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This was his apricot presence. Devotees who are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna will soon see Krishna face to face, without a doubt. In other words, devotees who are always engaged in Krishna consciousness and are fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna certainly return home back to Godhead. They then see Krishna directly face to face, talk with him, and enjoy his company. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Chyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti sorjuna. Because during his lifetime, a pure devotee is always speaking of Krishna and engaging in his service. As soon as he gives up his body, he immediately returns to Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna is personally present. He then meets Krishna directly. This is successful human life. This is the meaning of prakate ha anibe sattvara. The pure devotee will soon see the personal manifestation of Lord Sri Krishna.
There seem to be, maybe I'm mistaken, but there seem to be a multi-dimensional Aprakandu's pastime, because we can read the same pastimes from different acharyas.
Yeah.
And they'll see it in a different way.
Right.
And what I want to say here is, up until I read Gopal Chamari, my understanding was Krishna sends Uddhava, then he sends Balaram. That's it. And then the next meeting is Kurukshetra. In Gopal Champa, Sri Jiva Goswami begins to describe how there are messengers coming and going all the time. And as you read the pastime, those messengers keep increasing, literally by the hundreds. They even cross each other on the way. Like, hurry up, they're waiting to hear from you. Okay, we're going. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 100. He builds up this image of the road between Dwarka and Braj, like busy with messengers all the time going back and forth, bringing news about Krishna so that the bridge vasi won't feel the separation. Mm. So,
but the point is that the prominent ones are what are always described. You know, it's just like it'll mention here and there that daily Kamsa is sending demons.
Yeah.
But the stories we hear are just the major ones.
Right.
So in the same way, is there maybe Kamsa? But the point is sending Uddhava, now that's a major messenger.
Right.
You know, plus we see is how Uddhava, how he experiences what he sees.
Yes.
And all these different aspects. Yeah, so you're always going to have all these things. But he's also mentioning the prakat and prakat and aprakat. I was going to say prakat and unprakat, right? Yeah. So you have all these things going on, and so there's these different views in that are there, and who sees what, and all this and that, and what, or who reveals what. You know, because there's so much to reveal, but it's... Point is unless it will make your focus on Krishna and his service, strong, then what's the point of bringing it up? Because the Goswamis, you know, means next to Sanatana Goswami's samadhi, there's a samadhi. Right? And so that's all the literatures that we would get no benefit from.
What do you mean? They said there's a lot of books there.
The Granta Samadhi.
Yeah.
Means when you go around, isn't it Sanatana Goswami's?
Yes.
When you go around in the back corner, then there's a little thing there. So that's all the literatures they wrote that we wouldn't get any benefit from.
Right.
You know? Because you see is that when they're discussing the Shanta Ras, the Dasya Ras, the friendship Ras and the parental Ras, they never have to bring up that don't think that this is material. They just explain it nicely, everyone understands. But as soon as they touch, and they get into quite detail and give nice examples and everything like that. You see Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sinha. But as soon as he gets into conjugal rasa, he reduces down to just very major points and is constantly saying, "Don't never think that this is material." So the point is that, you know, there's certain things that will be worthwhile and certain things that won't. See, because now if by hearing this, then it inspires you more in how Krishna and his interacting with the Brajbasis, that's great. But then if it's like, okay, well, this acharya says this and that acharya says that, then you shouldn't read these things. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So whenever you see that someone gets, oh, but one acharya says this and the other acharya says that, says, yeah. And you know what the problem is? You read that when you shouldn't have. You weren't qualified. Because unless you can reconcile them and see them all together, you are not qualified to read it. And even more, you shouldn't speak these things to others and get them confused. And even more, you should never write that down. And even more, you should never publish it. You know, so it's just a disservice. You're bewildered, then why publishing it? Then, you know, you can share your bewilderment. No. It's very specific. So the thing is what's being offered, we can see a very specific line. We're Rupanugas. So therefore, even all the other acharyas, we see in the context of what Rupa Goswami gives. And if there's something different, it's just an aspect of that, but the main will be that. And so if they want to say, oh, well, this and all of that, then you're going to end up with none of them. So we have very specific, there's Rupa Goswami, we have our line, we have Srila Prabhupada, we want to be there in that vision. What you're seeing here, what they're talking about, and that you'll see that with that line. And if you take these other, you see something different. With each acharya, the yogpeed is different. How they see it. So ours is Rupa Goswami's yogpeed. That's what we follow. So it's very specific. You know, people may say, you know, this and that and all that. And we don't care. Oh, you're not being broad-minded or this and that. We don't care. We really don't care. Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes that point. We offer respects to everyone else, but we have nothing to do with them. You know, all these other gopis show up during Maharas, great. Krishna wants this, you know, and after they establish that Radharani is the supreme of all the gopis and they can all dance together nicely, you know, then we're all happy. But other than that, then what does their service have to do with us? It's not part of our service. It's not part of what we're doing. What do we care? So it's very important to know it's very specific. If you want to go to that place. Otherwise, the spiritual world is very, very big. You know, so there's such a wide range. But if you want to be right there, then that one has to have that focus. Does that make sense?
I'm glad you make it clear.
Yeah, because otherwise, yeah, these other things that you can add, it's nice. You know, just like we were saying, we have the steamed vegetables. And then, okay, then we put some butter and some spices. Then say, hey, what about cheese? You know, what about the oven? Then you say, what about the bread? You know, so you just keep, this is nice as long as it's there. But then when it ends up as something else and we're not looking at the steamed vegetables anymore, then what's the point? You know, so that's the thing is, Krishna is a very specific thing, because I brought this up once. And you know, somebody who is gallivanting off with somebody else, then I mentioned that, you know, in a Vyasa Puja offering about how, you know, being there and standing behind Prabhupada, what he sees is what we want to see, because that's the point, is how you can see. Doesn't matter how far back you are, you'll see what they see. And this person says, oh, no, no, we're all in the same place. It's not like that. And it's exactly like that. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur makes that point clear. So yes, it's there, and one will be with Krishna, one will be with all the devotees, one will be with the Goswamis in the same line. So it's all going to be there, but in what flavor and what things? And so yes, there is the one, but we want this one. It's unlimited, but we want this one. Because that's the unique one. That's the special. Otherwise, the founder Acharya, then they give the clarity for the whole Sampradaya. So you'll understand all the Acharyas, you know, their comments, their teachings and that through the founder Acharya. Without him, you won't understand it, not in the same way. It means if that's your connection, that's your love, then fine, it will be all there. But at the same time as it's with the founder Acharya, then it brings it all together. Because all the Acharyas, they're all, you know, eternal associates of the Lord. So there's not going to be any problem there. So, yeah, so one has to be careful. So that's why we're more specific. That's why we don't like speculation or this or that. Some will take that, interpret that. In other words, if you're from ascending path, one will take that, oh, you just blindly accept. And so why can't you intelligently look at it and go, this is the best thing? You know? So why can't you figure it out? You know, it's just like, if I say, don't hold the brick like that, because if you drop it, it'll fall on your toes. Right? And so then you accept. You know, but the intellectuals will say, no, 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 you're blindly accepting. You know? That's why we ultimately don't care. Does that make sense? So we always, you know, try to be nice, try to be everything like that, but it has to be understood is that we're dealing. Razor's edge is a razor's edge. It's that thin. But for the devotee, there's no problem. Just like if the whole material world can become reduced down to the size of a calf's hoof print, so then the razor's edge is quite comfortable to progress on. But by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then it works. Does that make sense? Something? No. Yeah.
I was thinking that in Brahma Samhita, that right in the beginning, there's a description of Jogpit as a yantra.
Yes.
The Radha Krishna is in the middle, and then the eight gopis.
Yes.
So then we can place them actually in our meditation as we see them,
yes,
right there on the altar.
Yes. Yeah. So the order that they're in is the order that Rupa Goswami gives.
Yeah.
You see, other Goswamis give a different order.
Yeah.
But this is the order that he gives. So you have Lalita Vishaka, then Champaka Lata, Tunga Vidya, Lalita, Vishaka, Champakatlata, Induleka is on the other side.
Chitra,
then Tungavidya.
Yeah.
Then it goes over to the other side next to Vishaka, then you have
Induleka,
Rangadevi, Sudevi.
Yeah.
That's the order he gives, so that's why they're in that order. Like that. You know, so it's just they were put like that. You could also do it like this or whatever, but it just came out that way. But that's the particular order is the order that he's given. And so then, you know, there'll be some reason for that. And so we're happy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the point is all the Acharya's works is, and as Prabhupada points out, is that when we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, when we please Lord Chaitanya, we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. By his grace, one is freed from all material desire. Right? And then the holy Dham, the glories of the Dham is revealed. Right? So now that means the Sundini aspect, that it's revealed there. Then by gaining the mercy of the Lord and the spiritual master, we gain the mercy of the six Goswamis. Then the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are revealed, right? Because in other words, you have the Dham, then you have the Lord Krishna and the gopis, their pastimes, like that. So it's a very specific process, and so we have to understand them, and that's for us as then the founder Acharya is going to do. So it's that. Yes, Prabhupada as an individual is very special, but there's the path that he's the founder of Acharya. That it's through his understanding that you can actually understand everything else. And so then if you don't understand it, stick to what Prabhupada's saying, because that includes what the Acharyas have said. Then when you can see both of them saying the same thing, then you've properly understood. But if you see it as Prabhupada saying one thing, the Acharya is saying another thing, then you have a problem. Like that. Because that won't come up. It won't happen. Does that make sense? Like, you know, like for the Shris, they don't see anything Ramanuja says is different from any of the Alwars or, you know, Yamunacharya, anybody. They see it all through him, they can understand everything. So it's the same way. So that's his unique position. It's not just okay, he's pure devotee or he's a nitya siddha. You know, because all the acharyas are. So the point is that no, but he's the founder acharya. He's the one through which the whole sampradaya is viewed. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, is that with the Gaudiyas, if you understand the Gaudiya, you can understand all the other lines also. So all the other lines could benefit by taking shelter of the founder Acharya. Right? Because they're the founder Acharya in that line, but Lord Chaitanya is a Yuga avatar. So the founder Acharya, he's the founder Acharya of Kali Yuga. And so by that, even their own line will become more clear. You know? Does that make sense? You know, like the Sri's water glide, tanya glide, easy for us to explain. Or the tattva body is easy for us to explain. It's not us, it's just, you know, this is what Lord Chaitanya gave, this is what the Acharyas gave. Right? And so without that, they get bewildered. Does that make sense?
Can we say that in the Gaudiya line, there are a few. We can say prominent acharya.
Yeah, all the ones that are on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's list,
yes.
They're the prominent ones.
Yes. In the other parampara, the four, like they accept Ramana Acharya, Sadhu Acharya, do they have some prominent...
Yes, they have their prominent people. Like I said, in the Shris, then Yamunacharya, the Alwars, like that, that's going to be who's prominent for them. Like that. Madhvas will have their people, I'm sure. Like that, because, you know, we have our line going back to Brahma, and ours is quite unique, actually, in that Brahma to Narad, Narad to Vyas.
Yes.
So that means you've covered 151 trillion years by Narad talking to Vyas. So we only have to cover then that short time. Then does that make sense? But these others, they go back. It's like we're on, I think, what, 33rd, down to the founder Acharya. But for them, some of them is like 50 something. I think the Kumaras is around 50 to get to there, because it'll go through so many different ages and things like that. Point is it gets there. And you're connected. So since it's transcendental, it doesn't matter how short or long it is. But ours is quite interesting in how. And even for us, the prominence is then Madhva, and then down to Madhavendra Puri,
yes.
Then Ishwarapuri, Lord Chaitanya, and then coming down like that. So if you take that, then it becomes even more condensed.
Yes.
Yeah. So You know, because then Vyasa to Madhva. So then, you know, it just brings it within, what, 900 years?
It's 4,000 years.
Yeah, just right there. You know, it just brings it right down from there. So, you know. To Vyasa, that takes care of 151 trillion years. And then Vyasa to Madhva, then that takes care of 4,000 years. You know, and then after that, then you have just the coming down. But that's the siksha line. We don't. The point is everyone in there has a bona fide diksha guru. Whether that's they're coming from the siksha or not, that doesn't matter to us and stuff like that. So that's why we don't worry. You know, who's diksha guru?
Yes, yes.
Because it's the siksha that's important, and then, you know, and someone has a proper connection.
Yes, yes.
But it's the siksha that's the life. Is that? So it's Prabhupada's instructions what's important. So anybody who accepts that has that siksha connection with Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. It's no different than his own direct disciple, you know, his own who took initiation from Prabhupada, you know, the Pancharatrika initiation, receiving the siksha, and someone else later in the line receiving the siksha. There's zero difference. You know, so if you put emphasis on the diksha, then yes, you can say then especially. But otherwise, no. It's just a matter of seniority. Like you see Lord Chaitanya, then anybody who's you know, Ishwarapuri or contemporary of him, then he puts in a revered position. So that's the etiquette. Like that. So that's proper. That's the proper thing. And then I think you had one of the associates, wasn't he a disciple of Madhavendra Puri? One of those in the Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, one of them, wasn't he?
In the 10 main sannyasis who are the roots of the Chaitanya tree,
right.
I think 8 of them are disciples of Paramananda.
8 of them are, okay. Okay, so then they go back to there. So that puts him on, you know, the level with his guru. Like that, and he deals with them like that. So that's the etiquette. That's what we do like that. Yeah. But as far as the connection of siksha, there's no time and space. So as long as there's a proper connection with the chit potency, it works. So that's why when Prabhupada says that, you know, his books are for the next 10,000 years, that's a direct meaning. That's not now we have to use the Mayavadi principle of, no, but that means this and that means that, and no, it's direct. Good. Yeah. 213, 156, 185. Sri Krishna continued, I have already killed all the mischievous demons who are enemies of the Yadu dynasty, and I have also killed Kamsa and his allies. But there are two or four demons still living. I want to kill them. And after doing so, I shall very soon return to Vrindavan. Please know this for certain. I wish to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the attacks of my enemies. Right, because they came and attacked Dwarka. Okay, you know, so that's one thing. But, you know, them coming and attacking Vrindavan, that's not happening. That is why I remain in my kingdom. Otherwise, I am indifferent to my royal position. Whatever wives, sons, and wealth I maintain in the kingdom are only for the satisfaction of the Yadus.
One.
Termite season.
One. One termite season.
So is this a Neo, this one?
Probably.
Okay. Your loving qualities always attract me to Vrindavan. Indeed, they will bring me back within 10 or 20 days. And when I return, I shall enjoy both day and night with you and all the damsels of Brajabhumi. While speaking to Srimati Radharani, Krishna became very anxious to return to Vrindavan. He made her listen to a verse which banished all her difficulties and which assured her that she would again attain Krishna. Lord Krishna said, devotional service unto me is the only way to attain me. My dear gopis, whatever love and affection you have attained for me by good fortune is the only reason for my returning to you. Footnote 8. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82-44. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit in his room with Swarup Damodar and taste the topics of these verses day and night. Wow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced, completely absorbed in ecstatic emotion. While looking at the face of Lord Jagannath, he danced and recited these verses. No one can describe the good fortune of Sri Damodar Swami, for he is always absorbed in the service of the Lord with his body, mind, and words. The senses of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Second one.
Okay. For he is always absorbed in the service of the Lord with body, mind, and words. Damodar Goswami. The senses of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were identical with the senses of Swarup. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to become fully absorbed in tasting the singing of Swarup Damodar. Getting serious.
Just mosquitoes of fear.
Oh, okay.
They really attack.
Yes. Well, now you got the termites coming out also, so you might get a few of those.
Yeah.
Fortunately, they don't bite.
They were missing you.
Mm.
Yes. Situation.
Well, I've noticed today I've got less on me. Yes. Not only they all come on me, so they say, wow, Jagadish is back.
yeah, come on. He's been in foreign lands, eating foreign foods. So it's kind of like, hey, check this stuff out.
Sweet.
Imported.
That's the whole thing. It's always that. If you have a Bengali or someone who's always around, and then someone who's been from somewhere else, they'll always go for someone wherever there are someone else first. But if they get up and leave, then they'll bite whoever's left. So if when he leaves, they'll come and get you. And then when you leave, then they're going after him. Therefore, the senses of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were identical with the senses of Swarup. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to become fully absorbed in tasting the singing of Swarup Damodar. In emotional ecstasy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes sit on the ground and, looking down, would write on the ground with his finger. Fearing that the Lord would injure his finger by writing in this way, Swarup Damodar checked him with his own hand. Swarup Damodar used to sing exactly according to the ecstatic emotion of the Lord. So whatever mood he was in, he would sing according to that. So he knows that he would choose the song, he would choose the raga, he would choose how he would present it, because all these things, all match very nicely.
And somehow he was shaking the books.
Yes, check, just that they're correct. They're in line with pure devotion. Otherwise, what's the point? If they're not about pure devotion, why do we care?
He would also know what to say to bring Moksha Kanya back to consciousness.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but he couldn't eat.
Yes, yes. Yes. Whenever a particular mellow was being tasted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar would personify it by singing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked upon the beautiful lotus-like face and eyes of Lord Jagannath. Lord Jagannath was garlanded, dressed with nice garments, and adorned with beautiful ornaments. His face was glittering from the rays of sunshine, and the entire atmosphere was fragrant. An ocean of transcendental bliss expanded in the heart of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and symptoms of madness immediately intensified like a hurricane. The madness of transcendental bliss created waves of various emotions. The emotions appeared like opposing soldiers staging a fight, right? So that's the Vyavicharis, right? There was an increase in all the natural emotional symptoms, swabhava. Thus there were awakening emotions, bhava udaya, peacefulness, bhava shanti, joined, sundi, mixed, shabhalya, transcendental, sattvika, and prevalent, stai, emotions, and impetuses for emotion, at sanchari. Footnote 9. These natural emotional symptoms will be further elaborated upon in the 23rd chapter. Okay? 10 more chapters we'll get to.
And this is chapter
Rupa Goswami.
Rupa Goswami.
Teaching Sanatan Goswami, life's ultimate goal.
Huh?
I just finished it.
Okay. Very good. Not that, I can always just quote exactly. You want to know a pay? Yeah. What's
on? Because it's fresh in my mind.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying like that. Like sometimes, you know, we're reading something, we'll speak so many things like that, and then, you know, a year or two later, oh, you said this, I don't remember anything.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a transcendental Himalayan mountain, bearing ecstatic emotional flower trees, all of them blooming. The sight of all these symptoms attracted everyone's mind and consciousness. Indeed, the Lord sprinkled everyone's mind with the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. He sprinkled the minds of the servants of Lord Jagannath, the government officers, the pilgrim visitors, the general populace, and all the residents of Jagannath Puri. Upon seeing the dancing and ecstatic love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everyone became astonished, right? You'd asked before about, you know, what happens with everybody. So everybody, if they're there, they get the benefit, right? Yeah. In their hearts, they become infatuated with love of Krishna. Everyone danced and chanted in ecstatic love, and a great noise resounded. Everyone was overwhelmed with transcendental bliss just to see the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from the others, even Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram, with great happiness, began to move very slowly upon seeing the dancing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. What a ecstatic emotion. Apart, okay. Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram sometimes stopped the car and happily observed Lord Chaitanya's dancing. Anyone who was able to see them stop and watch the dancing bore witness to their pastimes. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and wandering in this way, he fell down in front of Maharaj Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra picked the Lord up with great respect. But upon seeing the king, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his external senses. After seeing the king, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned himself, saying, "Oh, how pitiful it is that I have touched a person who is interested in mundane affairs." Not even Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Kashishwar Govinda, took care of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he fell down. Nityananda was in great ecstasy, and Kashishwar and Govinda were elsewhere. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already been satisfied by the king's behavior, right? So he's saying this, but actually he's getting such mercy because even the others weren't there. Being satisfied by the king's behavior, for the king had accepted the service of a sweeper for Lord Jagannath. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually desired to see the king. However, just to warn his personal associates, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, externally expressed feelings of anger. Srila Prabhupada. Okay, got it together. When Maharaj Prataparudra asked to see the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately refused. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila 11.8, Chaitanya Chandra Doinataka 8.23, saying, Niskinshanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukasya Paramparam Jigamishor Bhava Sagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinam Ata Yoshitam Cha Ha Hanta Hanta Visha Bhaksharatopi Asadhu. The word Niskinshanasya refers to a person who has finished his material activities. Such a person can begin to execute his activities in Krishna consciousness to cross over the ocean of nations. It is very dangerous for such a person to have intimate relationships with mundane people. Or to become intimately related with women. Thus, this formality is to be observed by anyone who is serious about going back home, back to Godhead. To teach his personal associates these principles, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed external anger when touched by the king. Since the Lord is very much satisfied with the humble behavior of the king, he intentionally allowed the king to touch him. But externally, he expressed his anger just to warn his personal associates. Oh, okay. So he's flying around. Because that was the same one that was down here.
Yeah.
2.13.1 186 to 187. King Pretaprudra became frightened when Lord Chaitanya showed external anger. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the king, "Don't worry." Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya informed the king, "The Lord is very satisfied with you. By pointing you out, he was teaching his personal associates how to behave with mundane people."
How did he know? How did he know Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya?
Because he's been, you know, involved in this whole development of the king all along. Remember that the king was seeing, you know, the pastimes of the Lord and all that, and so when that was there, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then who was it, Kashishwar? Gopinathacharya, then they could understand he's received the Lord's mercy. Otherwise, how is he seeing these things? Srila Prabhupada, although outwardly the king was a mundane man interested in money and women, internally he was purified by devotional activities. He showed this by engaging as a street sweeper to please Lord Jagannath. A person may appear to be a pound shillings man interested in money and women, but if he is actually very meek and humble and surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not mundane. Such a judgment can be made only by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his very confidential devotees. As a general principle, however, no devotee should intimately mix with mundane people interested in money and women. Right, so we're very careful about that. You know, preaching is there, some aspects like this, but otherwise we're very careful. Because then the any moods in that they may have, we may catch some of that. We may, you know, not notice that we're, you know, getting involved and all that. That's why then Lord Chaitanya is pointing these things out very strictly.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Not very much related. Somebody asked me. Some people say that devotees, that we are coming to the material world because Krishna likes to free the conditioned soul.
Oh, okay. He says, somebody's asking a question in the in her class, that somebody says that they have an idea that the reason we come to the material world because Krishna takes great pleasure in freeing the living entities from the material world. So he sends them here just for that. So then that by doing that, that takes all any blame off of us. And so then, you know,
it's not our fault.
Yeah, because so many times they don't want it to be their fault. They can't, you know, it's just like the standard material consciousness is you can't tolerate that you're wrong. Even though you are wrong, you can't tolerate that you're wrong. So if you're wrong and only you know you're wrong, then okay. And you make an effort that, and by making an effort to change how you're wrong, no one else will figure out that you're wrong. Then, you know, it's like that. But if even they would know you're wrong by you adjusting, then you won't adjust because you can't be wrong. Or that, you know, people point it out, it becomes social and everything like that. So it becomes a very big thing. So, no. We come here because we turned away from Krishna. The point is the pastimes of Krishna means, like if for us the liberation and all that kind of thing is going to have minimal impression on the standard of happiness of the living entity. The freeing of the living entity, from that the amount of happiness is not going to be as great as interacting with that devotee. So why would Krishna give up interacting with the devotee for the pleasure of freeing them from the material world? Right? Because that's just the situation. So the dynamic interaction, that's, you know, based on affection, on prema, that's the real thing. Because otherwise, living entities are already liberated when Krishna is in the Atmarama state. But he expands his energy so that for his pastimes, because to increase the pleasure. That's why for the devotees, getting out of the material world isn't what's important. It's establishing your relationship with Krishna.
The Paramatma Sandarbha, one of the primary qualities of Jiva is described as, in context of the material world, he's a doer and enjoyer.
Yes.
Not the Paramatma.
Yes. Because otherwise we're the ones, you know. So it means Jai and Vijay come here. That's a special arrangement. Who else have we heard has come? Right? So, you know, that's the whole point. It's that it's the focus is on that. So that's there. And even if you say all the demons, they're all devotees who are taking up that thing. But we're not those demons. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing? Right? So we're not exactly on the same level. So it just should be understood. No need to speculate on this. We turn away from Krishna, we come here. We turn our face towards Krishna, we go there. It's actually that simple. You know, but we want it to be something else other than us. You know, oh yes, of course, when the living entity, there must be some place where it mentions Krishna becomes very happy when the living entity. So then they take, oh, so Krishna sent us here for that. You know, it is sentimental as, oh yes, it's all about Krishna's pleasure. But the point, so by being in the material world, then how does that please Krishna? So it's only if you're getting out. So then, if that's the case, even if it is, then we should be very determined to help ourselves moving forward Krishna consciousness and helping the maximum amount of living entities go back to Godhead. We can't just sit back and, oh, Krishna's very happy when, you know, no, then do something. In other words, he is happy when the living entity is freed from the material clutches, but that's because they bring their consciousness and surrender to him, you know, out of the material and focus on him. So.
All right, we're reading Prabhupada's commentary that Lord Chaitanya chastised Pratapoda Maharaj to show the example to the others.
Yes.
About the risk of associating with mundane people.
Yes.
Does that mean that the devotee who tackles, you know, mundane people for the sake of preaching have to be careful and mature enough to make an assessment how far they can go in associating with them?
Yes, I should.
Because it's easy to get carried away. Oh, these people that, you know, they're favorable. And they
No, I've heard, I think, two different occasions of someone who worked with very, very big people, and they fell away from the movement.
Really?
Yeah, and I remember one. I can remember the other one. I vaguely remember, but the comment. But it's like, you know, how did the others, you know, how come they didn't? Why didn't they? You know, in other words, they should have known better than to set me up with those kind of guys and encourage me in that, because, you know, he gets distracted by it and fell away. But, you know, so that's the whole thing. It means you yourself have to be assessing, and others can also assess. So one has to, as much as it's useful in preaching, otherwise then, you know, everything can be preaching. But at the same time, things that are preaching, we may not. Like Lord Chaitanya, here he's just dancing and absorbed in Krishna. And you know, how you say, thousands or millions of people are being benefited. So in the same way as, you know, things that we do, we go out, we do, you know, we're seen as devotees, we're doing services, doing the Hari Nams and that, we won't take that as serious preaching. You know, it's kind of like one of those things that we do because it's kind of mentioned and all that, and you know what to do. You know, it's like Shankaracharya, he wrote a book on the glories of Radha and Krishna, and zero Mayavad philosophy in there. And you know, if you ask about the book to the Shankarites, you know, to the Swami, they'll kind of grudgingly, yeah, he did write that book. He says, but we have no idea why. They just. You know, you don't bring it up, we're not bringing it up. So in other words, you know, kind of like that is, yes, somehow that's an obligation, yeah, can we kind of do that on the side, but it's embarrassing. But those guys that go out, they get that there's more benefit in preaching going on in that than so many other things. You know, so it becomes very important. So in that way, if you connect all of it, then it's the Sankirtana. But if that's, you know, an embarrassment, then that means that a lot of other things that you're doing may not be properly connected. Why? Why do we sit in meetings all day when Prabhupada himself thought this is foolish? You know, there's so many comments on that. What is it? Meeting, you know, this, huh? You know that one?
No solution.
Revolution.
Yeah, no solution.
Resolution, revolution, and then no solution.
Solution, yeah, yeah. Meeting, resolution, revolution, no solution, yes. The Prabhupada said right at the beginning, that was back in the 70s, because he saw how much they get. He wanted them to have meat for 3 days, and that's for 3 hours a day. Like that. So that's 9 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, but then they extended it, it had to be more, you know, it's just so many days, and then it's, you know, 6 hours, and then it just keeps going, you know, it keeps going up to like, you know, 14, 15 days like that, then they cut it down to 10, then it goes back to this, and that. So these things is there, and fine, you engage yourself, and that's nice. But you have to keep the central point that about pleasing Krishna and about how the central point is pure devotion. Then it becomes connected. It's just like if I do my work and give the results to Krishna, then that work becomes connected. Like that. But after I give the work. So either you have to be on the platform. So it's already for Krishna. You're seeing how it's for Krishna. And you're always constantly seeing it like that. Then it's already connected. Or at least at some point it has to connect across. Otherwise, then it doesn't become. So that's the point, is that we're using the Varnashram system in as much as it's useful. That's the whole point. We put a hierarchy. What actually gives us, you know, remembrance of Krishna? Then those things that do. So, yes, okay, maybe we'd be happy sitting down and chanting, but you have to organize things so everybody can sit down and chant. So that's why then you have meetings and management and all that. Now, so in that context, then it becomes very dynamic. But if there's the idea somehow or another meetings are the highest form of service, then one has a problem. You know, maybe for that individual, by being engaged, that's very good for them. But one should actually, why not accomplish what can be done along with it? Like that. So if that's kept in mind, then it becomes perfect. You know, it's like anything. You get too distracted by it, you know, you're doing the RT because everyone will see you. There's a problem. You know, or you're cooking, so everyone will tell you, dress the deity, so everyone will go, oh, it's so nice, and like this. Then there's a problem. Like that. So one has to see always, whatever you're doing, that it's not going to be a problem for you or others. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.